I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Oh, I spent a little bit of time on this yesterday, and it was a great hearing, and I had an audio, abundance of audio yesterday, and I didn't get to a lot of it. But Brian Fair is the guy who is the interim president for the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they had a hearing yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee. Congressman Bob Ondra is on that committee. Here's his question to Mr. Fair.
Mr. Fair, the SPLC labeled Charlie Kirk and his organization dangerous extremists in its Hate Watch newsletter, and Charlie Kirk was assassinated the very next day. Do you regret signing off on that newsletter?
Congressman Ondra, what I regret is the political violence in this country on any side of the aisle.
Do you regret naming Turning Point USA a hate group several months earlier?
What I regret, again, is the political violence in this country.
And are you willing to take any responsibility for the assassination of Charlie Kirk? I'll take that as a no.
Look, this was quite shocking, some of the lack of questions. Congressman Ondra is with us this afternoon. I mean, that was just one small example, Bob, as you know, of that guy unable or unwilling to answer a lot of questions that were very, very easy.
Well, that's right, Mark. It's great to be back. We had a previous hearing with on the topic of SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, which was once a useful civil rights organization helping poor blacks with legal representation of the Old South. But they have truly, truly lost their way. The last hearing, the Democrats put forward a witness who wasn't from SPLC, and of course they essentially pleaded the fifth on everything, or pleaded ignorance on everything. Here we actually had the CEO of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and as much as Mr. Fair claims to decry political violence, the SPLC has been in the business of inciting political violence with its hate map. Of course, long before the Charlie Kirk assassination, they inspired an armed attack on the Family Research Council, in which one of the security guards was seriously injured. Really, the Southern Poverty Law Center, we've known for a long time, is a defamation machine. And now we know they've been indicted by the Justice Department for bank and wire fraud. Look, it's time to end the SPLC's scam once and for all.
I think they even had Missouri on, this hate list or avoid Missouri list because of some of the things that happened in the aftermath of Mike Brown or some of this other nonsense. But really what has been exposed, and I know that he was grilled on this yesterday, is the money that they spent from donors. And he's trying to defend this as something that organizations do when they pay, informants to work inside and infiltrate organizations. And clearly the FBI does that at times. But this is a group that's supposed to be fighting hate, and they're actually funding people. And whether they were doing some sort of investigative work or not, they weren't being honest with the people around them and with the donors, and they still want to defend this, which is just kind of incredible, Bob. And you heard that all throughout that hearing yesterday with Mr. Fair, unable to answer real easy questions, yes or no questions that everyone posed to him, and he deflected and he deflected.
Well, he absolutely did. Yes, the Southern Poverty Law Center is manufacturing the very hate that they claim to be fighting, but more importantly, fundraising over. They spent $4.1 million funding various actual hate and neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups, but they weren't just paying informants. $4.1 million would pay a lot of informants. They were actually paying these extremists to get people, for instance, to the Charlottesville rally. They were paying neo-Nazi groups. One person, one informant so-called, wanted out and said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And they paid them more money to stay in the group and continue to cause trouble. so the indictment clearly lays out how, you know, the very large sums of money that they were paying for these insiders in these groups. And they weren't just gathering information and passing it on to the FBI. They were encouraging violence, including at Charlottesville, where one person was killed. And by the way, they were definitely money laundering. They were moving. They had shell companies that had names like, you know, Marine and Lawn Service and so on to hide the purpose of the money that they were moving around, moving to these extremists that they claim to be fighting.
Is there a next step in all of this or not at this point?
Yes, I think the next big step, I think, first of all, exposing the SPLC, because, you know, the SPLC has been used by some investment companies, including Fidelity, by many companies in directing charitable giving. And,
yeah,
you know, really
outrageous.
Is kind of a. Yeah, it's kind of a gold standard. So if you had a donor-directed mutual fund or a fund with Fidelity, for instance, any group on the SPLC's hate list was not eligible for your directed contributions and so on. Many large corporations followed the SPLC's hate list and blacklisted those companies. So I think many, many companies are now on to the SPLC. They're no longer following that. But SPLC needs to be exposed, but they were engaging in criminal activity. The next step is really the Justice Department to pursue their prosecution.
On the indictment, right. Congressman Bob Onder is back with us. All right, so the president has signed a $70 billion bill for the funding of immigration enforcement agencies through the end of his term. This was not an easy thing to secure. It passed the Senate last week. I think you guys voted on it yesterday. It now is solidified. So what would you say about that battle and finally getting that across the table to the president's desk?
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yeah, Mark, as you know, I mean, it's a big victory that we finally got it done. But this just shows how much the Democrats are putting illegal aliens first over the interests of the American people. On April 30th, Congress passed a bill funding the Department of Homeland Security, but not ICE and Border Patrol, because the Democrats, not a single Democrat, would vote to enforce our immigration laws. That was April 30th, about a month and a half ago, after a 76-day shutdown, longest shutdown of a department in American history. And now it took us another month and a half to get this bill passed without a single Democrat vote to fund the brave men and women who enforce our immigration
laws. Not even Fetterman, right, in the Senate voted for it.
I don't believe even Fetterman.
Yeah.
Not a single House member yesterday, but I don't think even Fetterman. So it's very clear. The Democrats have been the defund the police party, and now they are the defund immigration enforcement party. This is very dangerous because we have prioritized deporting criminal illegal aliens. The whole sanctuary city issue is about these sanctuary cities, Democrat-run cities and states where a third of the country live, where they will not turn criminal illegal aliens over to ICE and Border Patrol for deportation. This is lawlessness at its worst, and it is just pathetic that the Democrats put illegal aliens over the safety and security of the American people.
It's unreal. I can't believe that they keep doing it. What happened, though, Bob, with the controversial $1.8 billion so-called anti-weaponization fund? That got very, got a lot of attention, a lot of pushback from Republicans. Was that included in this or not?
Yeah, that was not, Mark. That was, something the president had floated. At first, the White House seemed to very much want to have that $1.8 billion fund to compensate victims of weaponization of government. Look, I've talked to lawyers who represent some people who were very much victimized, including St. Louis's own Mark McCloskey, who represents some of these victims. And there are ways in which they can pursue, damages for ways that they were harmed. Certainly, the most well-known is a 1983 action by which you sue a government for deprivation of your constitutional rights. So, finally, the White House backed off and said, okay, go ahead and pass the ICE and Border Patrol funding without the weaponization fund. So, no, that was not included.
Well, good.
And that made it a little easier to move forward.
Right, I was not a fan of that. All right, we have to talk about Iran, though, because obviously the president seems to not really be concerned about the timetable here. I think that the situation here diplomatically, I don't know why we feel that we're close to a deal. Maybe there's a miracle and we're close to a deal. But, there keeps being this promise from the White House and from the president. He said it again today. Gas prices are going to plummet when this thing is over. Two questions. When is it going to be over? And then I don't think gas prices are going to plummet, Bob. I think we're stuck with these through the summer.
Well, okay. I think, first of all, I don't know when this is going to be over. we had a fragile ceasefire. Some exchange of weaponry, but relative calm.
Yeah, we may have more this afternoon, though. Now, he's promising this afternoon. It was 4 o'clock yesterday that they hit a couple of targets, so we could have action
exactly
this afternoon.
I know, and President Trump promised a very big escalation this afternoon, that originally triggered by yesterday's downing of a Black
Right.
Hawk helicopter.
Right.
So I don't know when this is over. The sooner the better. Obviously, under the right conditions, the Strait of Hormuz has to open. Oil has to keep get flowing again. But I think, I think the once the world oil market realizes that the Strait is back open, we'll definitely have a backlog, no question. 20% of the world's oil moves through the Strait of Hormuz, but I think we'll see, just like even a optimistic remark by President Trump will improve the price of crude and gas prices at the pump for a couple days. I think once the conflict's actually over, we'll see a big fall in oil and gas prices. Maybe not to where we were a year ago, but I think things would indeed improve significantly after the hostilities end.
I have Senator Schmidt coming on to preview the congressional baseball game tonight. Are you going to be attending that game by any chance?
I will. I'll be a little late to it. I have an event right before, but then I will be there, and I predict a big victory by the Republicans.
It's a lot of fun. I was lucky to go one year. I sat with my dear friend Kenny Hulsoff, who you probably know. He was a member of Congress as well. And it's just great. They pack that stadium pretty well. It's for charity. It's really kind of a fun event. It's on TV tonight. Chad Pergram from Fox is a great play-by-play guy, so the senator is going to join us. But, Bob, have a great time tonight. It's always a great event.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great evening.
Yep.
Now it will be a great game.
Take
Thanks.
Care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.